I've always been a sucker for justice issues, and this particular issue of civil rights for same-sex couples has always been sort of on my plate.
The women were overwhelmingly supportive of civil union. Had it been left to the male legislators, civil unions would have failed.
We have never seen such a mass mobilization in our movement since Anita Bryant. Remember her? We're making a list and checking it twice and gonna find out what sponsors are naughty or nice, because Schlesinger is coming to town.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell.
And I'm Greg Gordon. Romania passes astonishing civil rights protections.
Church and state in the Vermont civil union struggle.
And activists on the alert for Dr. Laura's debut.
All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Jay Schulte.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending September 9th, 2000. Romania has passed a strong law against discrimination, including discrimination based on sexual orientation. It's the first civil rights protection there for gays and lesbians. Violations can lead both to hefty fines and to lawsuits by those who feel they've experienced discrimination. Adrian Coman of Romania's national gay and lesbian group Accept praised the law as one of the most clear anti-discrimination laws in Europe. The new law marks an astonishing advance for Romania, which struggled for years with religious and cultural resistance to decriminalizing homosexual acts.
Also passing a law against discrimination this week was the Australian state of Victoria, where gender identity and sexual orientation were added to the categories protected under the state's Equal Opportunity Act. Gays and lesbians had previously been protected by a category called lawful sexual activity, but Victoria's transgenders have been lobbying for their civil rights for a quarter century. With strong support across party lines, the bill passed the Legislative Council this week, after winning approval in the Legislative Assembly last week. The new law had been a campaign promise of Premier Steve Brax's ruling coalition and had been expected to pass in June. Instead, the government withdrew it at that time in the face of opposition from just two independent members of the Legislative Assembly, whose support was crucial to the government on some other issues. Although the Legislative Assembly last week rejected amendments they proposed, the government modified the bill to recognize some of their objections before reintroducing it. Activists are not greatly concerned about those requirements for transgenders to give employers reasonable notice of a change in gender presentation and to show they are not simply cross-dressing based on a whim, because they trust the Equal Opportunity Commission that administers the law. Victoria's move means the only remaining Australian state or territory without civil rights protections for transgenders is Queensland.
Spanish law prohibits both explicit and implicit discrimination based on sexual orientation in its army, but a distinguished officer this week became the first to publicly identify himself as a gay man. Lieutenant Colonel Jose Maria Sanchez Silva, a successful military lawyer and dean of the Military School of Legal Studies, said that despite the law, subtle reprisals and camouflage bigotry continue to take place on a daily basis in the Spanish Army. That has kept him closeted up until now, and he felt his coming out was dangerous enough that he moved off base to live with friends until the media uproar dies down. An army spokesperson held that Sanchez Silva was unnecessarily exploiting his position to make an announcement pertaining to his personal life and insisted that 1998 legislation has eliminated every type of discrimination.
Another public first this week was Taiwan's first Pride Festival, funded in part by the city of Taipei to increase understanding and acceptance. The city's Bureau of Civil Affairs published and distributed pamphlets describing homosexuality as based in biology and summarizing gay history and culture that drew letters of protest from many Christian organizations. But people turned out by the thousands for the three-day festival, including concerts, a dance, design and art shows, a gay history exhibit, and a forum on civil rights. The forum speakers became part of another historic first as they visited privately with the President of the Republic of China, Chen Shui-bian. No other sitting president has ever met with gay and lesbian activists. Chen accepted gifts of a rainbow flag and a rainbow pin, and his spokesperson said he looks to public education to help bring full equality to gays and lesbians.
But it was another story altogether for the second annual Pride Festival in Belarus, formerly a state of the USSR. Minsk officials denied organizers a permit for their planned parade through the capital. They told foreign reporters that Pride organizers had submitted their application too late, but they told the Pride organizers the application was denied because the group is not officially registered. The group has applied for registry, but been rejected. The festival is proceeding with other activities, including seminars, exhibits, concerts, parties, and film screenings. Belarus Gay Pride hired armed guards to protect participants after receiving threats.
In Brazil, organizers of Sao Paulo's annual Pride celebration received more than a threat this week. They received a bomb in a package delivered by express courier. Because they had been receiving death threats ever since their big June celebration, they were immediately suspicious of the package and called police, who safely detonated it in a park nearby. Just the day before, a similar bomb had been delivered to a local leader of Amnesty International, a group which has actively supported Brazilian gays and lesbians in their struggle against hate violence. Messages enclosed with those bombs, and also mailed to some leading politicians, indicated they are part of an organized neo-Nazi campaign against gays, Jews, blacks, and native people from northeast Brazil. The letters announced a new campaign to cleanse Brazil of its excrement beginning on Brazilian Independence Day, September 7th. But Brazil has suffered a high level of anti-gay violence for years, including 169 murders of lesbians, gays, and transgenders in 1999 alone. Last month, hate posters began appearing in the area of Curitiba, showing a hooded figure holding a gun aimed at the viewer with the caption, "Make your day happy. Put an end to homosexuality."
Turkish police this week chased a group of gay tourists back onto their cruise ship. They indicated they were acting on orders from the Interior Ministry, but that ministry denied having issued them. Merchants of the port town of Kuzadasi were outraged at the treatment of the visitors and their own lost business and flocked to the docks to protest. The mayor of Kuzadasi personally went aboard the cruise ship Olympic Voyager to apologize to the 833 gay men. Because most of the tourists were U.S. citizens, the U.S. State Department intervened. The Minister of Tourism tried to patch things up, and the Minister of the Interior gave his personal guarantee of the tourists' safety at their next stop, Istanbul. They were greeted there by the U.S. consul and by a group of Turkish children in traditional dress offering them Turkish delight candy. Some of the gay men were still too angry to set foot on Turkish soil, but those who toured Istanbul had a huge protective police escort. Those police reportedly arrested 19 people who attempted to harass the men.
But two long and painful struggles for access were won in the U.S. this week by students seeking to form gay-straight alliance clubs in their high schools in cases which have received national media attention. A year ago, Open Gay Anthony Colin applied to form a GSA at El Modena High School in Orange, California. Normally, the principal would have been the one to accept or reject that application, but instead she sent it on to school district officials who sent it on to the school board. In addition to its regular meetings, the school board held an unprecedented public forum specifically to discuss the club. In this very conservative district, the idea of anything gay visible in the school was denounced by some trustees and parents in the harshest of terms.
This will not stop from just the high school. It's going to trickle down to junior high and elementary. And I think we can all kind of imagine what's going to take place there is that the homosexual lifestyle will get into our kids, 5 and 6 years old, and say that it's okay to have homosexual sex.
After weeks of delay, Colin and the GSA filed a federal lawsuit. The board then voted unanimously against the club, but the judge issued an order forcing them to allow it to meet like others until the full lawsuit was decided. A series of protests and counter-protests, some of which involved religious conservatives from out of state, were not only contentious and ugly, but at least twice mildly violent. This week, the Orange School Board voted 5-2 to accept a settlement agreement by which the GSA would meet on the same terms as all other non-academic clubs at the school. After the year of conflict, that final chapter proved to be a model of civility, with both GSA opponents and Colin thanking the school board for its work. In an emotional speech, Colin explained that he respected board members for standing up for their convictions and said that all the opposition had served to make him stronger.
Don't be fooled by my tears, because they are not a sign of my weakness. They are a sign of my strength. A battle, man, a long, hard battle, and we won. The club is permanent now. That's what it means to me.
Because the U.S. government makes its funding of public schools contingent on equal treatment of students' non-academic clubs, the only way districts can block GSAs from forming is to eliminate all non-academic clubs. Only one school district in the nation has made that draconian choice. Salt Lake City, Utah's school board did it by a 4-3 vote in 1996. That move resulted in two federal lawsuits and two pending appeals at costs already exceeding $180,000. Earlier this year, the state announced it would not pay for those appeals. In one of the cases, students won an order to organize a curriculum-related club to discuss gay and lesbian issues in contexts such as history, sociology, and government. Once that group was meeting, it no longer made sense to the district to deprive other students of their non-curricular clubs, and this week the school board voted 6-1 to lift its ban.
And finally, openly lesbian tennis Hall of Famer Martina Navratilova, making a comeback at the age of 43, this week lost in the second round of mixed doubles and the third round of women's doubles after some of the most dramatic matches at the U.S. Open. Her partner in the women's doubles was Spaniard Arantxa Sánchez Vicario, who went on to take the title in the mixed doubles. Even for a veteran with a great career like Sánchez Vicario, it's unsettling to be paired up with a legend. She said, "I was more nervous playing with Martina than I was at my wedding."
That's News Wrap for the week ending September 9th, 2000. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Chase Schulte.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
The show will go on, but Stop Dr. Laura organizers are claiming victory. You'll find out why later in the program.
Lesbian and gay couples in Vermont are being joined in civil union, even as opponents to the law granting the state's marriage benefits to same-gender partners are taking aim at those responsible for its passage. Many opponents cite religious grounds, but there were also church leaders supporting the representatives who carried civil unions through the legislature. Elaine Clift reports.
Among those who understand the human dimensions of the struggle for gay marriage, or at least civil union, are more than 100 Vermont clergy who've been active advocates. Among them is Catherine Kedieu, pastor of the United Church of Christ in the small village of Saxton's River.
I've always been a sucker for justice issues, and this particular issue of legal civil rights for same-sex couples and for gay and lesbian people and transgendered and bisexual people as well has always been sort of on my plate, and I've never been able to say no to it, and it's caused some difficulty with the church in the beginning, in the early years, but as people grow and understand, it seems to be less problematic. But even if it were, I wouldn't be able to say no to it, because it is a real justice issue for me, and so I'm happy to be part of this.
So how did the church community in Vermont organize around this? How did there come to be 100 or more clergy who signed on and who gave testimony? And maybe talk a little bit about that testimony.
Grassroots folks began to contact clergy to see where they stood. And, of course, the United Church of Christ has had a task force ongoing for many years to look at this issue of lesbian and gay rights in the church, and it's been an ongoing dialogue that I think more and more people have just become aware that this is a justice issue and have signed on. And you sort of make yourselves known, and you go to the booths at the fairs and at the annual meetings and pick up the stickers, and then you find that people will contact you and ask you to be an advocate. And I've been involved with the task force for about 2.5 years, and I was asked to be part of a panel to talk about the issue of same-sex marriage about 2 years ago. And my first thought was, this is really scary because it's going to be very public. But then I realized that if you believe something, you have to go public and just let it be. I attended one hearing where the leaders, the Episcopal bishop and United Church of Christ Conference Minister Arnold Thomas and the rabbi Josh Chasen were asked for their opinions at the same time that Bishop Harold Angel, the Roman Catholic bishop, was testifying against it in another room. And I heard the positive testimony, and then I went into the other room and heard the last of Bishop Angel's testimony, and I felt really sad because it seemed so kind of rote. It seemed so by the book, and so if you start at a certain place, then you have to end at a certain place, but it seemed like he was starting in the wrong place. And even the rabbi said, I love Kenneth Angel, but he's just so wrong-headed about this, you know. It was very, very powerful. I also heard Craig Benson from Take It to the People, and it was just, I wanted to hiss and boo, but I didn't, because it just seemed so slick and so insensitive to gay and lesbians' humanity. It was clear that we have to talk about this, because even the people who are against gay and lesbian rights needed to be flushed out in a way. We needed to know why they were against it. And it's very hard to say, well, I love these people, but then say that they're an abomination and they're the cause of disease, you know. Some of the things that people said were just so ignorant. The positive things were people who have been married for 40 or 50 years to say, this isn't going to hurt my marriage. And then people who say, I used to be a priest, or I've been married for 40 years because I have suppressed my homosexual yearnings, but they're still here, but I'm not acting on them, and I think everybody should have a right to have a family and a life, you know.
According to two-term state legislator Elaine Alfano, a healthcare advocate when she's not in her legislative role, it was the women in the legislature who made all the difference, perhaps because they do understand family issues so well.
The women were overwhelmingly supportive of civil union. Had it been left to the male legislators, if only their votes counted, civil unions would have failed. So I think that was a really interesting cultural difference. In many ways, I think women often talk and learn more about other people's lives than men do. I mean, that's more of a subject of conversation and that women are more comfortable talking about and often know more situations. Because I was actually pretty astounded. A recent poll that was done here had also showed that people who knew that they knew of gay and lesbians were much more supportive of civil unions than those who didn't. Probably the people who say they didn't know anybody just didn't know that they knew somebody. But a factor is when there's really a human face on it and it's not an abstract issue, but it's somebody you know who's deeply involved in a committed, caring relationship, it makes a tremendous difference.
I would imagine that to have sat in this legislature and made such a historic decision would really be something very special, would really feel like a legacy. Do you and your colleagues feel that way?
Yes, I feel very strongly about it. And it was interesting because my first term, this is my second term in office, and we have two-year terms here in Vermont. And my first term, we did a major overhaul of our education financing system, and that seemed to me so historic, and I thought to myself, well, now I don't think that I'll ever be able to top this. This was a great session, and then for my next 2-year term to have enacted civil unions, it was very inspiring.
I'm Elaine Clift, reporting from Saxton's River, Vermont.
Many pro-civil union legislators like Elaine Alfano are facing fierce anti-gay challenges at the polls in the September 12th primaries and in the November general elections. It's a story we'll continue to follow on This Way Out.
And I'm Maria,
and together we're Zrazy,
and we're crazy about This Way Out,
the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
The long-anticipated premiere of Dr. Laura Schlesinger's television show is set for September 11th, and the campaign to expose the popular radio advice giver's anti-gay views is in full swing. Even though Schlesinger, who refers to lesbians and gays as deviants and biological errors, will soon be seen on small screens across North America, StopDrLaura.com organizers Robin Tyler and John Erebosis are extremely enthusiastic about the success of their efforts thus far, as they told This Way Out's Lucia Chappell.
This is the first time that we have combined a web strategy, and it's had something like, I don't know, 40 million hits and 3 million unique visits. It's been enormously phenomenal, StopDrLaura.com, with protests all over the country. And what has been so fantastic about this is that we have it has helped to organize the movement on a budget of, I guess, $15,000 has been our total budget.
For six months.
The sale of T-shirts. And compared to major organizations, that's nothing. That's a daily budget for them. So we've managed to have 30 to 40 protests. And just this weekend alone, the weekend of the Schlesinger debut, you don't mind if I don't call her doctor, do you? We're having 31 protests in 31 different cities protesting the airing of Schlesinger. And you have to say, has this strategy worked? And the answer is yes. We have never seen such a mass mobilization in our movement since Anita Bryant, remember her, and who the Orange Juice Queen, and against somebody. It's not against Schlesinger. It's just I think the movement's had it. The movement has gone, a civil rights movement, from saying, gee, if you only knew us and like us and accepted us and our lifestyle, you know, please accept us, we're nice people. And I think we've gone from asking for acceptance to demanding respect. And corporations have been dropping the Schlesinger radio show right and left.
You know, we started, we didn't start, it's actually kind of funny. The grassroots started picking on advertisers sometime in like mid-April. I think More.com, Boxlot, some of the dot-coms that people might not be as familiar with, started dropping because just individual gays and lesbians and others out there started getting annoyed that they were advertising on her radio show. I think the next big step was Procter & Gamble dropping, which was the first TV announcer that we had put on the website. But that was within about a week or two of us posting it, they dropped. And then they weren't going to tell us who any of the other TV advertisers are because obviously they were a little afraid. So we didn't put up anybody, and the grassroots started going after more of the radio advertisers themselves, and it just started going nuts. And I mean, the first month or two, it took about 2 to 3 weeks an advertiser for them to drop. You know, we'd put up their name, email address, phone number, you know, give them a call. And now in the last month and a half, it's gotten to the point where literally there's about a 24-hour turnaround when we put up an advertiser and when they drop her. And many of them, I mean, like Corey Johnson, who's just amazing. I'm like scared what he's going to be when he grows up.
Do you know who Corey is? Corey is the young man who came out on his high school football team.
Corey's been like making his own calls to these VPs of marketing and getting them to drop all by himself.
It shows that an individual can make a difference. And what we're doing on September 11th, I will guarantee Laura Schlesinger a large audience because we have asked the LGBT community to watch this show, to tape this show. We want our entire community watching this show because we want to know who the sponsors are. And we have called something called the list, the sponsors list. We're making a list and checking it twice and going to find out what sponsors are naughty or nice because Schlesinger is coming to town. And then we're asking them to send the list of sponsors and their telephone numbers to me at rtstopdrlaura@aol.com. That's RT. Robin, Tyler, rtstopdrlaura@aol.com, and they'll send us a list of sponsors, and as quickly as we can, we will get the sponsors up, both national and local, so that people can call up, and this is the year 2000, so we don't use the word boycott, we're going to share our feelings with the sponsors, and it's been working, but we just can't take credit that because it's a consumer market, it's been working. It's also been working because our community is out at work. And they have they formed employees' unions within the major corporations. So you can call AT&T and reach the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender group, and then you can have them from within. So we now have pressure from without, pressure from within, combined with the web genius of John Erivosis at StopDrLaura.com to, I think, have one of the most effective mass mobilizations and successes that our community has ever seen.
At Sears, the employees group took it upon themselves to contact the management because they were so upset that that Sears was a major sponsor of Dr. Laura. And in that case, Sears, for example, we weren't even targeting them. I mean, there are all these advertisers we don't even know about. And you've got either private Joan and Jane gay citizens out there that are calling up or these employees groups that are doing it on their own. And, I mean, I just can't tell you how many emails I've gotten from people who are getting politically involved for the first time on gay issues. And it's just, it's really neat.
I want to bring up something, too, about some people think out there, well, what about freedom of speech? What about Schlesinger's freedom of speech? The ACLU came out on ABC National News with a statement saying that this was not a free speech issue. We're not asking for the government to censor Laura Schlesinger, therefore it was not a First Amendment issue. And as far as StopDrLaura.com is concerned, we believe that it is not, that the Constitution does not guarantee everybody the right to a syndicated talk show. And so when you know that some young, especially her radio show, I'm really glad that we're going after the sponsors, because as she dehumanizes us and calls us biological errors, you have some gay kid, you know, listening to that show. We have the highest attempted teen suicide rate, the GLBT community, and we don't need anybody that's going to hide behind religious supposed values, as they did defending slavery and racism, may I add, hiding behind organized religion, and oh, it's only my religious beliefs. We're no longer going to let people hide behind religious values to demean an entire community.
Well, blasphemous. I mean, you don't use God as a shield to beat people up. That's been sort of the history of, you know, of our planet for 2,000 years.
If people want to know what they can do and how to get involved, please go to our website, StopDrLaura.com. It changes on a daily basis. We add new sponsors on. We add where protests are on. It's a wonderful way to organize the community.
And now with the TV shows starting, obviously, we're going to be putting up lots of the local sponsors. Again, national sponsors, but also sponsors in the various cities.
And the most important thing is to remember that individually, not only can you make a difference, but you have made a difference, because it's you that have been involved, that have been activists in this issue, that have actually had the success of stopping Schlesinger.
With all of that success, do you really envision that you will, in fact, stop Dr. Laura?
Well, I'll tell you something. I think one of the people that's going to be mainly responsible for stopping Dr. Laura is Laura Schlesinger. Because we hear the show is really bad. But Paramount has gone ahead and they're going to put her on. And people say, well, they put her on anyway. But we made her value as a product much less valuable. How valuable is the product of promoting bigotry going to be anymore? And it's not just about Schlesinger, but in the future, when somebody says something homophobic, just like if somebody is going to be a racist openly, we think that people are going to be far less prone, if at all, to give them their own shows. And so we've already run, and we think she will go off the air. Until she goes off the air, we intend to continue. But she, again, the issue has become much larger than her. It's the issue has been that we took on a huge Viacom and Paramount, now who owns Paramount, provides one-third of the primetime programming on television. We took on a huge, giant communications industry, and we got them where it hurts. We grabbed their financial balls.
StopDrLaura.com organizers Robin Tyler and John Erevosis were interviewed by This Way Out's Lucia Chappell.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Chase Schulte, Brian Nunes, Graham Underhill, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambage, and Rex Wapner contributed program material. Thanks also to Tom Dooney and to Elaine Clift, Mary O'Grady, and Frieda Worden of WINGS, the Women's International News Gathering Service. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music.
Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by grants from the Gill Foundation and the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tide Foundation by Planet Out, from designated contributions by Uncommon Cloud Visa card holders who've chosen This Way Out, and through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world.
For audio cassette information or with any questions or comments about This Way Out, please email us at tworadio@aol.com. Visit our webpage at thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. And please be sure to include the call letters of this station.
Remember, you can also hear This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on multimedia, then on radio.
This Way Out is produced by Greg Gordon
and Lucia Chappell. And we thank you for listening on WRPI Troy, New York,
KRZA Alamosa, Colorado,
MGR Malmo, Sweden,
and more than 100 other stations around the world,
including this community radio station.
Now, y'all stay tuned.